While the Senate has been spending a lot of time on hearings for the nominees of President-elect Donald Trump, the Congress as a whole has also been busy on its own affairs and how it will manage the government. We get more now from Roll Call senior editor David Hawkins. And David, there have been some committee changes and committee chairmanships on both sides of the aisle that could really affect how they do oversee the government.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly right there. So even though the Republicans have retained control of Congress for another 2 years, the Republicans have term limits among their own chairmen. So there are a handful of chairmen who have changed hands, and more importantly, subcommittee chairmen. So if you are really down to worrying about how your agency is going to be sort of micromanaged by Congress, it plays to look at the scorecard and see whether the subcommittee chairman that oversees your program or agency is the same or different.
What's happening on, say, appropriations on the House side?
So that's one of the biggies. The chairman for the last several years, a guy named Hal Rogers from Kentucky, he was term limited out. He has been replaced by a guy named Rodney Frelinghuysen from central New Jersey, from sort of the most rural part of New Jersey, the only part of New Jersey that's somewhat farm country between New York and Philadelphia. He is one of the few remaining sort of centrist Republicans, but he likes to spend money. He was previously the chairman of the Defense Appropriations Subcommittee. He wants to be a good part of the leadership, but he also probably is somewhat inclined to be a little bit more generous with the purse strings than some of his colleagues. The fact that he's moved up to the chairmanship of the full committee has opened up probably the most prestigious and important subcommittee chairmanship in all of the House, which is that Defense Subcommittee, because half of the money that Congress appropriates every year goes to defense. And a woman has taken over that chairmanship, Kate Granger. She has been a congresswoman from Fort Worth for 20 years. She was the mayor of Fort Worth before that. Fort Worth, obviously, plenty of defense, a big defense industry in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Yes, indeed.
So she pays attention.
All right. What about on the Senate side of appropriations and armed services? That's pretty much stable at this point?
That has stayed pretty well stable. Thad Cochran, still the chairman of the Senate Appropriations Committee from Mississippi. The big story there is that the retirement of Barbara Mikulski of Maryland, who'd been the top Democrat for the last several years, paves the way for a new top Democrat. Appropriations is really probably the committee in all of Congress that operates or tries hard to operate in a bipartisan way. So being the top Democrat on appropriations is probably one of the most important jobs, other than being in the leadership for all the Democrats. Important enough that the senior Democratic senator of all, Patrick Leahy of Vermont, has decided to take that job after being the top Democrat on the Senate Judiciary Committee for many years. That means that the Senate Judiciary Committee is getting a new top Democrat, also very important when it will come to confirmation hearings, not just of Jeff Sessions, the senator from Alabama, as attorney general, but of course all the judicial nominations, starting with the Supreme Court nomination we're supposed to get in the next couple of weeks. And that job is being taken by Dianne Feinstein of California.
And she's already indicated that she's going to be tough on some of the nominations.
She has. The longer Senator Feinstein's been in the Senate, the more combative she has become. And yes, she has said she's not going to go easy on the Trump nominees.
Now, Chris Van Hollen from Maryland, who is fairly influential in the House, is a freshman senator, but he's got some pretty good committee assignments anyhow.
He absolutely does. So he has come out of the box fast. He got on the Appropriations Committee, persuading the Democratic leadership that Mikulski's departure opened up an ideal spot for him to take on appropriations. He's also, I believe, going to be on the Banking Committee and several other top-tier committees. And one reason why he got such good committee assignments is that he agreed to take on something of a thankless task for the Democrats, which is, even though he's a freshman, brand new to the Senate, he agreed to be the chairman of the Senate Democratic Campaign Committee. He'd actually done that job in the House. He'd run the House Democratic Campaign Committee. And so he'd only been in office a couple of weeks, and now he's got really one of the most high-profile jobs of any job for any Democrat in the Senate, which is to raise money and recruit candidates for 2018, when you would think, on the one hand, almost every midterm election, the party out of the White House it can play offense, so you think that he's playing offense. But in this case, the party out of power in the White House, the Democrats, are defending more than 20 Senate seats, 10 of them In states that voted for Donald Trump. So it's going to be a tall order for Chris Van Hollen.
We're speaking with Roll Call senior editor David Hawkins. And going back to the House side, the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee is not changing chairman. It's still Jason Chaffetz, but he has made kind of a big announcement of a new chief of staff there, Jonathan Sclodany. So, what do we know about him?
So Jonathan Sclodany, he's been on the staff. He has he's kind of come up through the ranks. I believe he ran the Republican efforts for the so-called countrywide investigation of the special mortgage favors for some members of Congress from a few years ago, sort of a scandal. He's taken the place of a woman who I believe has gone to work in the Speaker's office. So it's a happy transfer of power. But you know, it's an important point to make, which is that these members do not run their own staff. In other words, the staff director of a committee like Government Reform and Oversight is an enormously important job. They really set the day-to-day priorities. They decide where resources are going to be spent on which investigations. They are the ones that do much of the spade work to get the right witnesses at these hearings. They guide the chairman on which things are politically important and which ones are not. So, you know, I think it's great to once in a while remember that while the members ultimately have the voting authority and it's they're the ones who are at the microphone, it's the staff, the staff directors that wield a significant amount of power just behind the scenes.
And getting back to the confirmations, there were heavy hearings in the past week, more hearings coming this week. And although there was some criticism of some of the candidates, my general impression is that there's nothing really that's going to stop any of the nominees that have been put forth so far by Donald Trump. Is that pretty much the outlook?
I think that's right. I think you are absolutely right. I think there were no new bombshells against any of these nominees. There had been, you know, there was certainly an effort to derail. It seemed like the two that the strongest efforts were against Senator Sessions to run the Justice Department and Rex Tillerson, the ExxonMobil CEO, to be Secretary of State. But neither, there were no sort of new revelations or bombshells to derail either of those fellows. The interesting theme, I think, from all these confirmation hearings in the last week has been how liberally the nominees have been willing to distance themselves or flat out contradict things that Donald Trump said on the campaign trail and has said even since the election. I think I counted 9 different campaign statements or promises or themes that his own cabinet nominees backed away from during last week's hearings. Everything from the existence of climate change to the importance of building the wall along the Mexican border, to membership in NATO, to Japanese nuclear weapons, and on and on.
This coming week, then, we hear more from the education nominee, Ms. DeVos, and a few others.
That's right. I guess Betsy DeVos is, I would rank her third among the nominees that the Democrats and liberal interest groups are most interested in stopping. But again, unless there's some new thing, I don't think she's going to be stopped out of remembering that the Senate changed its own rules a couple of years ago. The so-called nuclear option, which prevents the Democratic senators from filibustering a cabinet pick. Essentially, they can't filibuster any nominee except to the Supreme Court. So that's going to be the one place where the word filibuster and nomination are going to come together in the months ahead.
Well, when we next speak next week, then it will be a new era here in Washington.
That's the understatement of the year. Yes, it'll be. the whole world will be turned, quite literally politically upside down in a way that, we've all seen this coming. We've all known this was coming since November 9th, but somehow when it actually happens, there will be an element of surprise, I think, for many people that things are going to be very, very different, I think, from the very first day, both stylistically and substantively.
Roll Call senior editor David Hawkins, as always, thanks so much.
Thanks, Tom.
Find this interview and all of our ongoing transition coverage at federalnewsradio.com.